السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى has guaranteed us his help in this world and the hereafter if we become totally obedient to him, if we take his complete deen and we follow it. This is a guarantee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who is totally obedient to him, who has iman, and after iman he has the complete deen in his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him in this world and the hereafter. Yes, after that there is a bit of detail, which is that in the hereafter, the help will be immediate. From the moment a person enters the realm of the hereafter, which starts at the grave, the first stage of the hereafter, the help of Allah Ta'ala with him will be with him. And when it comes to the world, then sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test him, take him through a bit of hard times, like he did with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, like he does with the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. But during those hard times as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him at peace and at ease. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very often gives success and gives his open help in this world as well. But the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guaranteed if a person has iman, and after iman he becomes completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here I should mention as well that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guaranteed. We said that means in the hereafter, that means we immediate and openly clear from the moment a person enters the hereafter. And in this world, sometimes immediately, sometimes later on. But whilst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps him within difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him at ease. So here, what I was going to say is that here we should also mention that compared to the help of Allah ta'ala in the hereafter, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world is of very little importance. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite a person being totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes through every kind of hardship. Remember, like we said, Allah ta'ala will keep you at ease. Even in hardship as well, his heart and mind will be at rest. That my Allah is looking over me. It is his wisdom behind everything. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him through every hardship, and eventually that hardship culminates, it results in his death as well, whatever it is. Maybe some enemy who is on his case, maybe some illness. That is of extremely little consequence when a person will enter the hereafter. How little significance will that hold? Does that hold? All the hardship of this world when a person enters the hereafter? We can understand through two points. The first point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that in the grave, that person who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not in Jannah yet. He hasn't even seen Jannah yet, he is in his grave. But in the grave, a person is given a sample of Jannah. A window is opened that through which the smell of Jannah, the sounds of Jannah enter his grave. At that stage of the grave, when a person receives this tiny happiness compared to real Jannah, it will seem to him as if he had no hardship in the world. Those hardships which were in his memory will evaporate. That is one point that tells us the difference. Another point, when people will wake up on the day of judgment, they will be resurrected. Then the angels will say, قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَوْضِ عَدَدَ سِينِينَ. How many years, how long did you stay in the world? So some people will have stayed for 20, 30 years, some people for 60, 70 years. And before our time, the ages of people were longer. It's very well known that Nuh alayhi salam propagated his people for 950 years. So that means he attained the age longer than that. But all of mankind, the 60-year-olds, the 20-year-olds and the 1,000-year-olds, they will all be asked this question, قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. How long did you remain in the world? How many years? They will be asked how many years. But what reply will they give? قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. We remained in the world for a day or less than a day. They will be asked how many years and they will say, we remained in the world for a day or less than a day. Because when a person goes into the hereafter, the world, whether he gains 60, 70 years or 1,000 years, will seem like a day or less than a day. When that is the case, then even if a person is totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but despite this, Allah through His wisdom, maybe to forgive his whatever little sins he has, to raise his ranks, Allah ta'ala takes him through hardship, then it is not something to be worried about. It is not something to become grieved, despondent about. But today what I actually wish to mention is that everything is dependent upon becoming completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not saying that if a person becomes partially obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is useless. What I am saying is that if you want to be guaranteed the help of Allah in this world and the hereafter, then you must become totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once, it is a lengthy incident that the era of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and in the era of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the Muslims conquered much territory. So, from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were two superpowers in the world at that time. One was the Roman or the Byzantine Empire, which was predominantly Christian. And the other was the Persian Empire, which was predominantly Zoroastrian fire worshippers. And in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he started the effort of propagating deen to them. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, the effort continued. And slowly, slowly the Muslims advanced against these empires. And this incident which we are about to mention is when the Muslims reached the headquarters of the Persian Empire. They reached the headquarters of the Persian Empire. The roots of the Persian Empire about to be exterminated. And the palace, which was the safe haven for the Persian Emperor, it was built in such a manner that it was to reach it on the only side that it was possible to reach it, there was a large river. And there were bridges over that river. And this was deliberately done, that this is the final safe haven. On the other side, you cannot approach mountainous regions, etc. So if in dire situation the emperor needs security, then he can lock himself up in there. The bridges are destroyed and no one can reach there. And this is exactly what happens. The Muslims reach the shore. It is either Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah or Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu who is leading the army. The Muslims reach the shore. And they reach the shore and the bridges are destroyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time they are wondering what to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the leader that with your horses on foot enter the river. And they entered. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously, He made them cross the river in this manner that the water became solid for them. That is within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whilst this was happening, Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, a very serious sahabi, whilst riding on his horse comes next to the horse of the leader. And they have a conversation. And he says to the leader, that in simple words, basically, subhanAllah, look at the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are going to succeed. And the leader, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu, what does he reply? He replies by saying that, yes, if no one within us has committed a disobedience. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, pious, pious people. People who spend nights in worship, days fasting. Who have seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spent a long time in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But even then they understood that the most important thing, the thing which attracts the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which guarantees it, is the complete deen and staying away from the disobedience of Allah. Today, unfortunately, and I am speaking to myself first, the majority of us, we hold fast to some portions of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Sometimes a minority, sometimes a majority. But we think that I am practicing. Our aim should always be the total deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I must do, it needs to be in my life. And everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I must not do, I should remove it from my life. And I will not rest thinking that I have booked my ticket in Jannah until I have reached that stage. This was actually all the introduction for what I am about to mention ahead. But we have a few minutes. I will mention in brief what I am about. What was the actual purpose of this discussion, which is that one part of deen, one very important part of deen, which unfortunately we often disregard, is the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to wealth, transactions. This is also a very important part of deen. It is a very detailed part of deen as well. Transaction, which transactions are possible, permissible. You are buying, you are selling. I am buying, I am selling. My transaction is according to the law of the land, but is it according to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well? If it is not according to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the minimum it will be impermissible. And in worst case scenario, it may be that I gain haram wealth, which has so many further consequences. Someone passes away in the family. His inheritance must be distributed, and it must be distributed exactly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be distributed. If it is not distributed in that manner, and if I gain even 1 pound that should belong to someone else, that is haram wealth. One person came, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, and he wanted to become Hazrat's murid, Hazrat's spiritual patient. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, he used to test people, check that, is this person sincere? Does he actually want to do, is he ready to do what I will tell him to do? Because a patient goes to a doctor and then he says that I want to register here. And then the doctor gives him a prescription and he says, they're not ready to listen. What's the point? So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he told him that, look, in the area which you live in, the locality, there is a habit of not distributing inheritance properly. So before you gain registration into my surgery, go back as far as possible, check if inheritance was distributed properly or not, and as far as you can go back, redistribute it correctly. So this person went back, and not only his father, his grandfather's inheritance he checked, and he redistributed correctly as well. If my grandfather's inheritance was not distributed correctly, that wealth comes to me, and I realize, I come to know that it was not distributed correctly, it doesn't belong to me. Today, those of us who have some religious worry, that is why we are sitting here after all, to listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even we don't even, never mind have given it importance, we don't even realize the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding wealth. Whereas they are extremely important. I will end with one final incident. Another, when Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he came to the Khanqa. He came to spend some time with him. And he brought his young son with him, 10, 12 year old. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he was someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gifted. And he had his sight on the entire deen all the time. So he said, Assalamu alaikum, salam, how are you? How did you come? He said, by trade. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, you came by trade? So did you pay for a ticket for yourself and for your son? So he said, I paid for a ticket for myself. And as for my son, there is an age limit. And 10 years old, 12 year old. And under the age limit, you get a half price ticket in those times. So he said that my son, he's not below the age limit. He's above the age limit, but he looks quite young. So I got away with paying a half price ticket for him. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah said that half the cost of that ticket which you saved, that is haram wealth that belongs to the company and it is still in your wealth. So let us pay attention to the whole deen, and in particular not remain negligent in regards to the matters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding wealth. Let me end with this final point, which is that if we pay attention to the commands of Allah Ta'ala regarding wealth, then when we do so, we will see a loss initially. Oh, this wealth, it has come to me, but it doesn't belong to me. Because inheritance wasn't distributed properly. So £10,000, this needs to go to my sister or my brother or so and so. So initially, we will always feel a loss. But when a person looks after the commands of Allah Ta'ala looks after him. When that loss when a person incurs that loss, الشيطان يعيدكم الفخر, shaitan scares him that you're going to struggle. That is shaitan's ploy. He scares him, you're going to struggle. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to test a person, He lets him incur that loss. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks after him. Maybe Allah ta'ala will allow him to struggle for a few days, for a few weeks, to raise his ranks, to test him. But Allah ta'ala will always look after him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. But I request that just fill in the gaps, please, because the masjid is already getting full.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله اللهم رب العالمين الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات والله لا يحب كل كفار أثيم وقال تعالى إن الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعيدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا والله واسع عليم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الربا وإن كثر فإن عاقبته تسير إلى قل إلى قل أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته ورضى اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين وعن سائر الصحابة فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابي كالنجوم بأيهم اهتديتم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم، اللهم امكر لهم ولا تمكر عليهم، اللهم لا تسلط عليهم ولا تسلط علينا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا، اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى، اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله،
لا إله. سووا صفوفكم، صفي دو سمالي، straighten the rows. Please ensure your heels are at the base of the yellow line on the musalla. Please ensure that you are standing shoulder to shoulder. Don't leave any spaces. If there are any spaces in the saf in front of you, fill them in. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين،
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم
الله أكبر سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله